Hello and welcome to the Amphibolous Podcast. I guess this is the second official podcast. I put out a sermon a little bit ago just because I wanted to get something out there. But with the encouragement of a dear listener, and I think that there might just be the one, we continue with the Amphibolous Podcast. I was trying to think about what I wanted to do with this. I don't know what I have to offer, but what I'm excited about is the daily office, this practice of praying the Psalms, reading the scripture, and giving thanks to God. And then once you've done all that, maybe asking God for some things that you think might be a good idea, but finally humbly accepting that ultimately, it's best for God's will to be done, not our own. Anyway, that is done at morning and evening prayer. And as I thought about what's a hard thing about morning and evening prayer? Well, if you're just starting, it's weird to just jump in. You don't know what's been going on. And so, in order to help people with that, I wanted to do a little daily office digest, I guess. To kind of cover what where people are in each of the books. There's always an Old Testament and a letter or an epistle or something from the New Testament. And then specifically, there's a gospel similar to what we see on Sunday mornings. And so I just wanted to give people a little heads up about where the daily office readings have been and where they're going, and how you might be prepared to listen to them. So anyway, the Old Testament for this week is it's all in Numbers. Numbers is the fourth book. No. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers. There you go. It's the fourth book of the Bible. And it takes place between two significant happenings in the life of Israel. It takes place between two significant parts in the life of Israel. Most people know about the Exodus from Egypt, let my people go, the Red Sea splits. They wind up on the other side. They get some of these Ten Commandments. And then a lot of people are familiar with the Promised Land, it's called the Promised Land because it's the land God promised Abraham, it's the land God promises Moses. And so this book of Numbers is what's in between Exodus and the Promised Land. So what has happened in Numbers so far? We're picking up, I think, around chapter 16 or so, or maybe around 20. I think we might be around 20, actually. So what's been going on? Well, Moses has been getting instructions and learning about the law. They're figuring out some more about what the law is. The Ten Commandments are just the start. There's some a lot more specific things that God asks of God's people. So far, the tribes of Israel have gotten their name. You might have heard of the 12 tribes of Israel. Well, we've learned what the names, they're sort of named now. This is sort of like the origin story, or part of the origin story for the 12 tribes of Israel. That has happened. One of the things, though, is God is sort of like the Israelites' camping buddy right now. And so the camp is set up in a very specific way. People are divided up into their tribes. And at the middle is this thing called the tabernacle. And specifically the Ark of the Covenant, you might remember from Indiana Jones. But God's presence is very visible. You can kind of see God, but in a very ambiguous way, God is described as a sort of cloud. And then whenever the cloud moves, camp is broken and they follow the cloud. And then wherever the cloud stops, they set up camp. They put the Ark of the Covenant underneath the camp, and then you have the tent. And then you've got the priests and a tribe called the Levites. And then sort of kind of like a cruciform pattern or a cross, you have the camps of the tribes kind of spreading out. What else is going on? So they've gotten the law explained to them a little bit more. God's like their camping buddy, so they're like, geez, we got to really pull it together, Israel. Like, we cannot be slobs around the living God. We need to try and be as good as we can be, and here's some rules. So they've gotten some of those rules. God's been moving around. And now they're getting ready to go into the promised land. And you're like, wait, I thought that they, like, wandered the desert for 40 years before they did that. Well, hold on to your hats. Before they go into the promised land, Moses is like, let's send out some spies. Let's check to see what's waiting for us. And 10 of these spies, let's see, only two. Okay, so 10 of these spies go out and they're like, geez, this is going to be a fight to get this land. And then two of the other ones are like, well, yeah, it's going to be hard, but we can do it with God's help. I mean, we're not just going there because we want to or because we think it looks nice. We're going there because God says that this is the place I promised you. So anyway, so you've got, it's a 10 against 2 vote. And that's sort of what has happened. They have just gotten this news from these spies, and they're like, what are we going to do? And if you've already prayed Sunday's office, you know what happens. You know what happens to these guys. But as you take a look at this in the week to come, notice as you read this, so this is designed to help you have something to think about as you read or hear these passages. So as you think about this, notice what happens to the community when people are nervous, fearful, and distrustful of God. Does God break his promise? What happens when the leader, Moses, succumbs to anxiety? What does this story teach you about trusting God in stressful situations? So as you get ready for Numbers, keep that in mind. Romans, the letter that we are reading this week is from Romans. It just started last week. We just got a few chapters in. A little about, so Romans is like, Romans and all these letters. So notice we're going to read like two chapters at a time from Numbers, and we read like half a chapter at a time from Romans because it's just so thick and kind of hard to understand. And so I want to give you some background on what Romans is, who it's to, who it's from, and what that person is trying to communicate to this church. Because all these letters are from an apostle or an elder in the church trying to explain something theological to a community or specifically a congregation. And so this was written by Paul, the Apostle Paul, to the Church of Rome. Now, what's going on? Why does Rome need a letter? Usually these letters don't just come, you know, hey, you're doing a great job. Keep up the good work. There's usually some issue going on. So what's going on in Rome? The Church of Rome has been around for a little bit by the time this letter has been sent. It's made up of Jewish and Gentile converts. But for 5 years in the history of this church, the emperor expelled the Jewish part of the congregation and indeed all Jewish people from Rome. And by the time the Jewish members got back, the church was a lot different. Folks weren't following much, if any, of the Jewish customs that they had been when these Jewish members of the church left. And so you have a big divide. You know, are we going to have bratwurst at the church potluck, or are we just going to have brisket? Well, that causes, you know, it might sound trivial, there are other things that have kept these parts of the congregation apart too. So what are Paul's goals when he's writing this letter? One of them is to bring these two parties back together. He's like, I know that you guys are not liking each other very much right now, but let me explain to you why you should. And so in this letter, he tries to explain how the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus is good news for both Jews and Gentiles. In the first bit, Paul is explaining who God is. He explains that God is righteous, worthy to be trusted. God promises to do what is good and just, God promises to do what is good and just, and God always keeps his promise. This is kind of our working understanding of what righteousness is. Not only does God do good things, but he promises good things and he always keeps his promises. That's what right, you know, when we say God is righteous, that's what we mean. God not only does good things, but when he says he's going to do a good thing, he follows through on it. Paul does this by first explaining that Gentiles are broken people who are stuck in sin. He goes through a lot of what's going on with Gentile people, a lot of stuff that he thinks is going on with Gentile people, a lot of stuff that points towards what God doesn't like about the Gentiles. And at this point, the Jewish half of the congregation is like, ha ha, we told you. But then Paul's like, not so fast, my friends. He doesn't let the Jewish part of the church off the hook. He says they are just as broken as these Gentiles are, but they've known the rules the whole time and they still broke them. So he's like, you guys might be in worse shape than the Gentiles. And so, right, so that is where I usually leave my congregations, full of sadness and gnashing of teeth. But Paul, being a much better preacher than I am, does not leave this Roman congregation hanging. And he says there's good news. The good news is that God has sent Jesus to restore both Jew and Gentile to swallow up their brokenness and make them new people. Jesus, this guy, Jesus Christ, became what we are so that we might become what he is. That's what Paul taught. That's a theme in Paul's writings. But listen to this. Jesus became what we are so that we might become what he is. Okay. Let's think about this. For those who have faith in Jesus, God justifies. For those who have faith in Jesus, God justifies. Justification is a word that I still don't really understand. It is like the hardest. I mean, for whatever reason, this is just a roadblock in my head. But I think what justification means and what Paul means by justification is something like to declare righteous. God declares righteous those who have faith in Jesus. God declares righteous. So in other words, if you believe in Jesus, you are declared righteous by God. Just like God is righteous. God does good things and God keeps his promises. So what does it mean to have faith in Jesus? Well, faith means being in Christ and trusting Christ. Those of us in Christ get a new status. Okay, so faith means being in Christ and trusting Christ. So we believe that Jesus is who he says he is, and we believe that God has done what God has said he's done in Jesus. Okay, so what are the benefits of faith? Well, those of us in Christ get a new status. we are forgiven and made righteous. So if we are in Christ, if we believe in Jesus, we get we are forgiven our sins and made righteous. We get a new family. We get included into God's people, those tribes that we talked about in Numbers. Well, we're a member of that in a different way, but we are in God's family. And we get a new future. It's a life shot through with God's presence. Our future just looks different with God in it than it would otherwise. So we get a new status, a new family, and a new future. When we trust that God is good and has kept his promise perfectly in Jesus, we have new life. That's what we're talking about here. When we trust that God is good and that he has kept his promise perfectly in Jesus, we have new life. We have access to all these new things. Does that make sense? I don't know if it makes sense to me or not. I'm just trying to follow Paul's argument, what he's trying to set up in these first few chapters. And so I think I kind of get it. But if it doesn't make sense to you, my dear listener, just know that he's going to spend 12 more chapters and 4 more weeks trying to prove his point. Okay? So I told you so that we started this last week. So last week, So this is what we've done so far. Paul's kind of laying the groundwork. And so this week, Paul is going to use Old Testament examples to prove his point. He's going to be like, all right, so let me explain to you what's going on here. So he's going to look back towards the Old Testament to prove his point. This week, he's also going to look for how God is remaking humanity again. How is God, you know, God made humanity the first time. We sinned. We've been sinning ever since. And so God in Jesus is remaking humanity again. So as you think about this Romans stuff this week, think about how has God changed you? How has God changed you? Okay. So moving on to Matthew. Matthew's our gospel of the week. I don't think I have to do quite as much heavy lifting explaining to you what's going on with Jesus, but luckily I think you can just kind of hop in here. But what's Jesus up to? Jesus has just got done pivoting the expectations of his followers. The followers of Jesus got on board with him because they heard he was the Messiah. And for most people in Jesus's culture, Messiah is a warrior king who's going to come and beat the other warrior kings. But he's going to be like a super good warrior king, and he's got God powers and stuff. And so he's going to be the same as the kings on earth, but he's going to just be better at it than them because he's going to have God on his side. Well, Jesus is like, bad news, my friends. It's not going to quite roll like that. He is indeed the Messiah, but he will be a Messiah that does not conquer with the death of others, but conquers death with his own death. So he's got his sights on an enemy a little bit bigger than Pontius Pilate or even the emperor. He's going after death itself. So that's kind of what Matthew is talking about. So this week I would invite you to think, so he's just kind of pivoted the expectations of his followers. So this week, what's coming up? Well, I would invite you this week to, look at how Jesus's life and goals compared to those of governments and organizations of his time. This is who he's going to bump up into this week. Different organizations, maybe some religious organizations, maybe some political organizations. See how he, see how his life and goals compared to those people he bumps up to this week. And then I would invite you to think about this. If you had heard about a warrior sent by God to save your country, how would you feel if, you came to a parade for this guy? And what you saw was Jesus, who we know is Jesus. How would that make you feel? Would you feel happy? Would you feel scared? Would you feel disappointed? How would you feel? Just think about how your expectations of Jesus have changed a little bit. Or would certainly be changed if you're expecting a warrior king God and you got Jesus. Okay, the final thing to talk about, the feast. There's a feast day alert. Feast day alert. Wednesday the 24th, the feast of St. John the Baptist. When we have a feast day, it's like everything else stops. These readings that we do stop. Or you can read some extra on Tuesday and then catch up on Thursday. But anyway, the readings have stopped. And we have new readings just for John's feast day. We actually even have a John Super Special. So evening prayer for the feast of John the Baptist, the Nativity of John the Baptist, has its own readings. Morning prayer has its own readings. And evening prayer on the 24th has its own readings. So three special sets of readings. So this is the Feast of the Nativity of John the Baptist. Nativity just means birth. And it's, you know, Feliz Navidad in Spanish. That's where we get, that's where it's the same thing. Nativity in English means Navidad in Spanish. It just means it's John's birthday. This is John's birthday and reminds us that Jesus' birthday is on the way. Some things to think about. Remember that John jumped for joy when a pregnant Mary came to visit her sister Elizabeth. And John, still in Elizabeth's tummy, jumped for joy, we're told, with it while he was still in Elizabeth's tummy when Jesus and Mary, still unborn, came in. So that's sort of a spirit of the day. John has always recognized Jesus as special. Perhaps he couldn't intuit that Jesus was the Messiah when he was just a fetus in the womb, but he still knew something. So this is interesting, I think. So John obviously can't articulate the mystery of Christ very well as a fetus yet unborn. And yet, he knows something and he's excited. There's something about Jesus that gets this kid excited. It gets him jacked. It's pretty cool. So, what that makes me think about is, you know, something to think about on John the Baptist feast day. If you are a Christian, you know something about Jesus too. You don't know him perfectly. I don't know him perfectly. John didn't know him perfectly. And John thought he knew who Jesus was and what he was going to do. But like we talked about in Matthew, he had to have his expectations changed a little bit. And so so as you read these readings, there's a few from Malachi that are pretty hardcore. How do they help you understand who Jesus is? How do the readings help you understand who Jesus is? Did they clarify stuff about Jesus, or did they confuse you? Malachi is sort of predicting that Jesus is coming and describes who Jesus will be. How do the Malachi readings confirm what you already knew about Jesus, how do they confuse you? What about them is surprising? That's my question for you as you hear these readings. How might your expectations need to change so that you can keep following Jesus further and further? Think about that. That can be what you think about on the Feast of St. John. How might your expectations of Jesus need to change so that you can keep following him further and further? But feast days aren't just for theological reflection. They're for fun, too. We didn't used to have weekends as a culture. You just worked all the time. But you'd have feast days. And on feast days, you got to party. And so, what are some good feast day practices? Well, John the Baptist comes 6 months before Jesus. And so what's cool about Jesus at Christmas time is the days only get longer after Jesus is born. But with John, the days only get shorter. And so it's a practice to have a bonfire. As the days only get shorter between now and Christmas, it's important that as the world seems to get darker and darker, to behold the light of the world that John points us to. So, I guess I read also that Danes and a lot of people in Scandinavia will have sausages and good meat on the feast of John the Baptist too. Maybe this is a good time to get out in the water. John was the baptizer, right? So maybe get out on the water. I live in Spirit Lake, Iowa, so maybe I'll go splash in the water a little bit. But I for sure want to do this bonfire thing. That sounds fun. So, feast day alert over. I hope that I've gotten you on the right track to listen to Numbers, Romans, Matthew, and hope you're adequately prepared for the feast of St. John the Baptist, his birthday. Find some time Tuesday night for a bonfire, and then Wednesday, party all day. And I hope to have this ready to go a little earlier in the week next week, or maybe even later this week to help you get ready for the week to come. But anyway, this is the Amphibolus Daily Office Digest to help you hop into the practice. If you are a visual person, I would invite you to check out the Vanity app. You can do that by searching for the Vanity in the App Store, or just go to vanity.app. That's it's V-E-N-I-T-E.app. And then otherwise, if you're an auditory person and you want to keep up with these prayers, look for a morning at the office on your podcast store or podcast provider. And then if you want evening prayer, they have an evening at prayer, which is another podcast. So you can get morning and evening prayer audio podcast. If you are an audio and visual person, St. Albans Episcopal Church does a we have morning prayer Sunday through Thursday on our Facebook page and on our website. And you can check that out too. Anywho, thank you very much for listening. If you'd like to support this podcast, please share with a friend or just do the daily office. Honestly, that's my hope in this, is more people do the daily office. And then if you are moved to support this with money, go to StAlbansEpiscopalChurch.org and then click the Give button. And then you will be able to select giving to digital ministries. But you're welcome to just support the general cause too. Either way, however, or any way you want to, I appreciate your support and I appreciate you listening too. I hope that you have a great week, and I hope to be back recording this next week as well. So God bless you, God keep you, and you keep the faith. Bye.